Good afternoon, everyone. This is Akash. A very warm welcome to all of you for this Nucleus Software Earnings Conference Call for the quarter and half year ended on September 30, 2025. For discussions, we have here from the management team, Mr. Vishnu R. Dosad, our Managing Director, Mr. Parag Bise, CEO and Executive Director, Mr. Anurag Mantri, COO and Executive Director, Mr. Akshay Kumar Bora, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Ashwini Arora, Senior Vice President, Mr. Ashish Khanna, Chief of Staff, Mr. Mukesh Bangia, Vice President, Mr. Abhishek Pallav, Vice President, Ms. Swati Patwardhan, Chief Human Resource Officer, and Mr. Tapan Jaiswal, Financial Controller. As you all are aware, Nucleus Software does not provide any specific revenue earnings guidance. Anything which is said during this call, which may reflect the company's outlook for the future, or which may be construed as a forward-looking statement, must be reviewed in conjunction with the risk that the company faces. An audio and the transcription of this call will be shortly available on the investor section of the company's website, www.nucleussoftware.com. With this, we are now ready to begin the opening comments on the performance of the company and post that. We will be available for the question and answer session. With this, I now pass it over to Mr. Vishnu. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and a warm welcome to this conference call for quarter ending 30th September 2025. We thank you for your continued interest in Nucleus Software, and I would also like to take this opportunity to introduce Ashok Kumar Bhura, our Chief Financial Officer, who has joined on 1st of October. With extremely rich experience of nearly a quarter century, out of which 18 years he has spent building Airtel as a brand. So with those words, now I hand over to Parag.
Thank you so much, Vishnu sir, and thank you very much everyone for joining this investor call. I'll also like to welcome Mr. Ashok Bhura to our executive team. This quarter's performance is on expected lines, and but I wanted to add that I'm very excited to inform about our latest GA release for FinOne Neo, which is coming out in the next few days, and it is a release loaded with a lot of new features, about which if there are questions, we can answer. Of course, many AI-enabled use cases are also part of this release. So with this, I will pass on further. Thank you.
Tapan sir, to please highlight the financials for this quarter. Over to you, Tapan sir.
Thanks, Swati. Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Our consolidated revenue for the quarter is at Rs. 213.51 crore against Rs. 217.72 crore quarter on quarter and Rs. 202.20 crore year on year. Overall revenue in foreign currency, including India rupees revenue, is US$24.47 million for the quarter, against US$25.46 million quarter on quarter and US$24.12 million year on year. Product revenue for the quarter is at Rs. 181.02 crores against Rs. 184.91 crore quarter on quarter and Rs. 171.40 crore year on year. Revenue from projects and services for the quarter is at Rs. 32.50 crore against Rs. 32.81 crore quarter-on-quarter and Rs. 30.81 crore year-on-year. As for expenses, cost of delivery including cost of product development for the quarter is 73.9% of revenue against 70.1% of revenue quarter-on-quarter and 71.4% of revenue year-on-year. In absolute terms, this is Rs. 157.7 crore against Rs. 152.7 crore quarter on quarter and Rs. 144.42 crore year on year. Marketing and sales expenses for the quarter is 7.3% of revenue against 6% of revenue quarter on quarter, 4.5% of revenue year on year. In absolute terms, this is rupees 15.67 crore against rupees 13.12 crore quarter on quarter and rupees 9.09 crore year on year. As for G&A expenses for the quarter is 8% of revenue against 8.3% of revenue quarter on quarter and 8.5% year on year. In absolute terms, this is rupees 17.07 crore against 18.15 crore quarter on quarter and rupees 17.17 crore year on year. EBITDA for the quarter is at rupees 23.09 crore against rupees 33.74 crore quarter on quarter and rupees 31.52 crore year on year. Other income from investments and deposit at rupees 13.50 crore against rupees 16.87 crore quarter on quarter and rupees 18.47 crore year on year. Total other income for the quarter is at rupees 16.16 crore against rupees 17.96 crore quarter on quarter and rupees 19.02 crore year on year. Total taxes are at rupees 9.12 crore against rupees 13.10 crore quarter on quarter and rupees 13.54 crore year on year. Net profit is at rupees 26.29 crore against rupees 35.20 crore quarter on quarter is 33.06 crore year on year. Other comprehensive income is at rupees 2.77 crore for the quarter against rupees 4.63 crore quarter on quarter and negative 2.71 crore year on year. Total comprehensive income, which includes net profit and other comprehensive income, is at rupees 29.06 crore for the quarter against rupees 39.83 crore quarter on quarter and rupees 30.35 crore year on year. EPS for the quarter is at rupees 9.99 as against rupees 13.37 in the previous quarter and rupees 12.35 year on year. In terms of foreign currency hedges, we had US dollar 2.5 million of forward contracts at an average rate of 87.80. There is a mark to market loss of rupees 0.40 crore which is taken to hedging reserve in the balance sheet. Revenue contribution from the top 5 clients for the quarter is 27.1% against 28.6% in the previous quarter. The order book position is rupees 671.10 crore including rupees 579.67 crore of products business and rupees 91.43 crores of projects and services business. On June 30th, the order book position is rupees 703.16 crore including 608.70 crore of product business and rupees 94.46 crore of projects and services business. Total cash and cash equivalent as on September 30th are rupees 961.66 crore against rupees 965.93 crore as on June 30th. This includes balance in current account of rupees 42.23 crores, various schemes of mutual funds rupees 628.15 crore, fixed deposit of rupees 257.04 crore, investment in tax-free bonds of rupees 34.24 crore. With regards to receivables, we are at rupees 116.19 crore against rupees 126.12 crore the previous quarter. During the quarter, there is a gross addition of fixed assets of rupees 10.01 crore, consisting primarily of rupees 9.62 crores on computers and services, 0.04 crores on office equipment, 0.32 crores on plant and machinery, and 0.03 crores on software. Now, I pass it to Swati.
Thank you, sir. With this, now we are open for the question and answer session. I will hand over to you, sir. Over to you.
Thank you, ma'am. With this, we are now open for the Q&A session. If you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star and one again. Let us wait until the question queue assembles. The first question comes from Mr. Rushabh Shah from Bugle Rock PMS. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. So one of the questions was on employee cost. What we see as a percentage of sales, in the last 10 years, we have moved from 55% to around 65% as of FY25. Yeah, am I audible now?
Yeah, better.
Yeah, so my question was on the employee cost. What we see that as a percentage of sales, we moved from 55% to around 65% in the last 10 years. So my question was that we as investors, how do we track the employee productivity as we have added so many employees in the previous years?
Question is on what we not employee cost.
Employee cost, how do we track the employee productivity as we have added so many employees in the previous years?
So, employee additions, I don't know if you, especially if you look at over the years, may not be so much because we've been talking about it. We had a serious impact when the mass attrition was there, and essentially we have filled those up. And of course, there are some critical hiring we've done. Employee costs certainly have gone up across the industry because of what happened during the period of the mass attrition. So we are definitely not at same levels where we were earlier. As regards productivity that you talked about, yes, our endeavor is to increase that. We keep investing very heavily in our products. As I talked about, our latest release is coming out, and of course, with that rolling out, we'll of course expect to have more implementations, upgrades, and all that, which will reflect in this financial aspect as well.
Okay. And the second question was, so what we have seen in that the global companies like Silver Lake Access and Temenos, they have around 60 to 70% of their top line as maintenance and support. So although Nucleus does not give bifurcation, but could you help me understand how this segment for us has moved over the years and your thought process and how it will move ahead?
Okay, this, our AMC revenue or annual revenue is essentially in line with the industry, more or less in line with the industry. And going forward with, our latest releases getting rolled out with our existing customers, we do hope that our ability to continue increasing, investing in releases which would add greater value to our customers, would go higher. So that is how we would like to respond to your question.
Okay. So my last question was, sir, was one of the challenges we faced in the recent years is that the customer had an upper hand on us by asking for customization for every small thing, and we accepted it. Put manpower behind it, and in return, we couldn't get that much of revenue as it was costing for us. So since the customization was done for the customer, he was very happy with the customization, and for that, he wouldn't switch to our newer product. And hence, we were not able to command a premium, or rather have a pricing power on our products. So is my assessment right? I just wanted your views on it.
I'm not sure I've understood the entire question, but I will respond in any ways. Yes, we've been saying that in the past, like pre-FinOne Neo era or pre-Finexia era, we would we would very happily do customizations because that was the only way we were working. And that is the reason when we created these new age products that were with open architecture, that were highly configurable, where the approach was that we will do less and less customizations, and which is what we are continuing. However, I would want to add this, that especially with the fintechs coming in and on the customer acquisition part of our product line, which we call as customer acquisition system or CAS, there we do feel a pushback on making customizations, because that is an area where all our customers are wanting to build a niche for themselves. So everyone wants to do things their own way. So that's where we get a lot of demands for customization, even in the new product. However, as I said, that our products are highly configurable. We are making it even more configurable so that we are able to provide such flexibilities to the end customers, such personalization to the end customers, without doing too much of a code change. So that is the journey which we are already on, and we will continue to work on that. So I hope I'm being able to answer what you asked.
Yes, thank you, sir. I'll get back in the queue.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much, sir. The next question comes from Mr. Mayur Patel from GCR. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah. Hello, sir. So over the last four quarters, our revenue growth has been kind of modest. And due to the increase in operating expenses, majorly due to our product enhancing, so it has took the hit on margins. But in last con call, you mentioned that our main focus is to drive the top line growth. So what I want to understand from your side, what are the key execution drivers that needs to play out to re-accelerate the growth, the top line growth, which there was 2 years ago? 2 years ago.
So two parts to it. One, we've been talking about upgrading our existing customers from old platform to the new platform. That journey is not as fast as we would have expected it to be. The second, of course, is acquiring new customers. And I've been talking about two things. One is that we're getting good traction from the market. At the same time, the conversions are taking time. The situation continues. We are, however, hopeful of conversions. India market, Middle East market, and we've been talking about expansion, consolidating in the markets where we are already present. We talked about our background work in the US market for past couple of years. It's a tough market to get in, but we continue to work on that and gaining traction there. So with all these, what we are expecting to grow, we should be doing that in quarters to come.
Yeah, sure. Thanks. I'll get back in the queue.
Yeah, I just wanted to add that we, in this context, we put in a sales structure in place. Our sales over the past couple of years, the structure had kind of depleted. Today, as we speak, we have 6 regional sales heads in different positions already. We are aggressively looking to onboard a global sales set, so that will help us further in getting the more orders and hence the growth in top line.
Yeah, thank you, sir. That's all from my side.
Thank you, sir. The next question comes from Mr. Rahul Jain from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for providing me the opportunity. We're just trying to understand how the market is looking. You of course said there is a traction, but conversion is weaker. But What could be the top two or three reasons that are driving the momentum, and what could make this, you know, pipeline of a potential pipeline into a revenue that we are expecting to happen in next few quarters?
Okay. So one is that, you know, of course, the consumer lending market is booming, I would say. Government regulator, everyone is wanting that the finance, retail finance, finance to the lowest end of the society should increase, and they stop of that everywhere. A lot of new NBFCs are coming up, which you would know, of course, and many of them are talking to us. So that is the traction part of it. I'll repeat what we've been saying, that conversions are taking time because thanks to the regulatory changes, the regulatory tightening of regulatory norm, if I were to say, decisions are taking time. We're talking about even in smaller NBFCs, the decisions happening at board level. There is a lot of focus on IT governance, regulatory, technology architecture. Also, people are wanting to know. So all that then takes time. The situation is continuing like that.
Right. So I think some of the input which you mentioned were more pertaining to India as an end market. Is there anything you could add to make us understand how some of your other market outside of India is doing, and what is the incremental thing that we are able to do with empowering of our sales organization, which we have announced in the past? So any color on that part will also be helpful.
So, sales structure, of course, have come in place. So, if you talk about empowering, it is more enablement. One is there are new people who are joining. We are enabling them with understanding our products better. We, of course, providing all the support from head office for geographies outside. We have also participating in various industry events that you might be aware of, whether they are in India, whether they are or outside. There is a very significant partnership which we have done with GFTM, which is through which we are participating in various events. GFTM is the organization, driven originally by Matt. They were the ones who were doing SFF, the Singapore FinTech Festival. They have spread across various geographies. We have partnered with them, and through which we are participating in a lot many events. And apart from that, two more significant CXO level hiring. Our CMO had joined a few months back, about whom we had informed, and very recently a global alliance head who's also very experienced professional has joined us. So all these things put together, we are hoping that we will get to see more traction and conversions.
Right. So just one bit more. If I see your non-India revenue, they've been, in that same zone for last 2-3 years now. So we've been consistently investing on S&M side. So if you could help us understand what is causing this longer, a much longer conversion of investment into revenue in these markets, is it like that's the kind of a cycle we were expecting? Is it taking longer? What could have caused this? And incremental role of this gentleman joining as a global alliance partner? What could be the role? Is it related to system integration or there is any other aspect to it? Thank you.
So, I think a combination of two, three things. So when I said that our sales structure really had got depleted, which we have put in place again, except for the global sales head, for whom we are aggressively trying to get them on board. The second, I think the slowing down of conversion is experienced all across. It's not only in India. It could be because of, one is of course regulatory changes are happening everywhere, plus the global factors may be playing a role. We don't know very specifically. And the last thing you, of course, the alliance head, the global alliance head, you know, partnerships with the big force, whoever, one of them, other partners who can help us sell our products and also subsequently help in implementation and support. So these are the partnerships we are expecting to develop, either global, regional. This is where the alliance head is expected to help us, even with technology providers, platform providers like AWS, likes of AWS, with whom also we partner. They also promote us in some way. So all these things, this global alliance head is expected to help it.
Just last one from my side. We have seen, this other expenses line item for us going up pretty significantly. Is it that the number of events in this quarter were higher for this kind of a spend to happen, or you think this is the run rate for us now?
So partly because of recruitment that we talked about, some senior executives. Yes, marketing, we are consciously investing more in marketing activities, so a lot of events we are participating. Definitely these two facts. Yeah. These are the two key things. And travel related to that, of course.
Right. Any medium-term profitability band we would like to operate, is that something that we have internally assigned?
Well, you know very well that we don't give any guidance. You've been part of so many calls, so on that we will certainly not comment.
Sure. Thanks, Parag, and welcome, Ashok, to the team. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. The next question comes from Mr. Modit from M3. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yes, thanks for the opportunity. My question is, what is the go-to-market strategy for customer acquisition in FinExia, and what's the traction there?
I would say traction is there, but FinExia typically, unlike FinOne Neo, where almost all banks and a lot of NBFCs, they get into the lending, specifically retail lending market. FinExia is niche. It is done only by big, large corporate banks. So of course, the number of prospects and hence number of deals are expected to be less as compared to FinOne Neo, though we expect larger deals there. Since we're talking FinExia, very recently we also participated in Cybos, which is an annual event by SWIFT, which is a global event, annual event. We typically participate every alternate year, if not every year. And from there, we try to generate more leads. So that's the traction on FinExia.
Right. And on the conversions from FinOne to FinOne Neo, where do we stand there? And means, could you give us some light on how many of it is actually from the old customer itself, like 80-90%, and what is stopping from others to upgrade to FinNeo, because it's been there for last 8 years, 9 years, and the new generation fintechs are all microservices based architecture. So why is this conversion not happening?
So yeah, I agree, because that's what I said in my initial comments also, that it is not at a pace where we expect it to be. I except there's one typical challenge that we face is, of course, in FinOne, you know, as I had mentioned, we would do the customizations the way the customers wanted it. Now, a lot of things in FinOne Neo, though they are available, but the deliberations we get into is that customers want features as exactly they are developed in FinOne. So that is one area. Plus, I think FinOne is a very solid product. So though the technology is old, but that inertia definitely customers have. They don't want to move out with something which they are very, very comfortable with. So these are the couple of factors.
Is pricing also a big factor? Like, is there a large delta because of which people are hesitant to move to the FinOne Neo?
It is not because of pricing, certainly.
It's the complexity of implementation and inertia.
Yeah.
And
migration, all those things. And change management, understood. Essentially.
Understood. If I can take one or two more, what percentage of sales do this system integrators and the likes of this Big Four contribute to at the moment? And is there any discussion at board level at where do you want to take it eventually in 2, 3, 5 years?
Currently, it's very, very less. We don't have very big partners. Yeah, we do have partners through which we are getting sales, but it would be very less. And there's no limit where we want to go. We would want as many sales to come from these. There's no percentage you define for ourselves.
Right. Again, I know, I understand you do not give guidance, but still I'll try it in my way. Is how do you see growth in like 5, 7, 10 years? Where do you want us as analysts to peg it to? Do you want it to peg it to credit growth? How do you internally aspire to grow with respect to industry? And the follow-on question on the same is, in last 3 years, the growth that the delta of the growth from long-term average with what we saw was largely contributed from the price hike you have taken. Does that mean your long-term growth will revert to the mean of 8, 10, 12% that was there for last 2 decades?
Sorry, won't be able to comment on this.
I was just trying my luck. No worries. Thank you so much. Thanks for giving all the answers. Thanks.
Thank you, sir. The next question comes from Mr. Vinay Nadkarni from Hathway Investment Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Just how many new logos have we added in this quarter and in this half year?
One logo we have added.
In this quarter or in this half year?
This quarter.
Okay. And half year also, it's more or less the same, or was there anything else in the first quarter?
Tapan, would you want to comment in half year, how many new logos have you added? Okay, sir.
That's when we have added two.
So, total two.
Two?
Hello?
Yeah, Tapan.
Okay. And just wanted to check out of the revenue in this quarter, how much is revenue from the new logos and how much is, is there any percentage that you can give to see how exactly it is moving?
No.
Okay, let me reframe my question. Basically, what I wanted to check out was how much of your revenues come from annuity kind of a business and how much of it comes from fresh sale of logos, fresh sale of products.
I think 80 to 90%. It's our estimate. 80 to 90% would be from existing as of now.
Okay, and that 80 to 90% is coming from fresh sale of products, or is it annuity revenue that you collect as a subscription?
Annuity and existing customers. You know, we keep there is some upgrade, some change requests, some new lines of businesses from, so this is existing, all existing customers.
Okay. And any new development are you looking at in terms of expanding your product portfolio to include anything new which your customers might be, you know, using some other software for and which you could do better?
Well, let my product experts talk about it a little bit.
I think in terms of enhancing the features, we are adding co-lending as a offering to our customers. So you must be knowing the kind of potential co-lending is having into the market. So we are going to offer that as part of our product offering, as part of GA.5. Further to that, we are also working to add a new line of businesses as part of our offerings like gold loan, finance against security. That's where we are thinking how we can add value to our customers with new line of business addition.
And of course, yes, this is Abhishek. In addition to this, on the technology front, we will be implementing. We have already implemented and are in the process of implementing more AI use cases. So this is concept of embedded AI that we are building the product upon. So our AI can seamlessly be experienced. The product offerings.
Okay, thanks a lot. Thank you very much.
In addition to this, we are also investing on Islamic and corporate.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from Mr. Himanshu Pade from Stateford Investment Managers. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon. My first question was, I have been not tracking the company for some time now, but some of the challenges which were there in FY21-22, which was on the client movement from FinOne to FinOne Neo, okay, we are still around the same challenges, okay, and we have stated that we want to change our sales and marketing or bring improvement, okay. But what could we have done better that this whole transition, which has taken so much time, could have been done better? I mean, some thoughts on that so that we know okay, what we are trying to target with the improvement in our sales and marketing structure and with bringing new people on the organization head.
Thanks for asking this question. We have done one mega transformation project from FinOne to FinOne Neo, and there are more to follow up after this, one already in pipeline. And then these kind of mega transformation does is that it brings extreme confidence into the new platform offerings, and which customer has already started realizing value of it. And we want to sail through on this momentum that we are. Mukesh, you have anything to add?
Yeah. So I'm also going to talk about that. There has been quite a few learnings from FinOne to FinOne Neo transformation, which we have already done. And we are going to use these learnings going forward. Certainly, with the established sales organization structure, we are going to leverage this learning and communicate to our customers so that we would be able to use this further.
Can you elaborate on what were the top three important learnings which we can transfer, and whenever some new project transformation or a new product is going to come up with us, the scale-up of that could have been faster than what it has been in historically for us. So that is what I am trying to understand.
Okay. So I think if you talk about top three learnings, one certainly is on the data migration side, wherein we have learned how to make the cutovers timing more optimized. Happens to be a more performance-oriented thought process which has gone into making migration more seamless. That's one learning which we are now embedding as part of our product offering as well in terms of data migration toolkits. Second, certainly on certain governance part, we are trying to bring more checkpoints while we are moving from FinnOne to FinnOne Neo, how we can bring these checkpoints more streamlined. And third, we are also bringing more aspects of how to manage the scope. So scope is also something where more effective tools in place, so that we can have better control on the scope part. These are top learnings we are trying to incorporate further.
And let's say for next 2 years, what would be the top three priorities for us as for an organization?
Of course, first is enabling people on the technology and the product. Since we have added sizable number of new associates, so we are enabling them on product and product capability so that we are able to communicate the value of product to our customers. And then second one is, as Mukesh mentioned, there is a lot that we have learned as part of the transformation project. So our program management capability is something that we are strengthening it up. And third part is, of course, the control and governance on this scope.
Okay, thank you for my question.
This is in addition to as part of organization practices which, on technology and product lines that we are working upon.
Okay. Thank you from my side.
Thank you, sir. We have a follow-up question from Mr. Modit from M3. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity for follow-up. I want to understand what exactly at the moment is the role of Dr. Ritika in the organization. Is she eventually going to take a larger management role in the organization? And what's the glide path that you guys see in the
uh-huh. Yeah, as of now, Ritika is Dr. Ritika is still on her sabbatical, and as she comes back from sabbatical, her role will be decided.
And the other follow-up is on: is there any other product line that you are tinkering with, given the cost of new development with AI has gone down substantially? So are you thinking to, given you have large cash reserves, are you also putting R&D monies to come up in new product lines? And the follow-on that would be, is there a lot of competition in pipeline coming because the product development cycles, because AI has gone shorter?
Okay, the way I would like to respond to this very interesting question is, thanks to AI, the product lines suddenly have reduced. However, the domain knowledge or industry knowledge is a very, very integral part of whatever offering that you want to bring to the market. And that is where, we have tremendous strength. We are continuing to build on that strength. and any related offering, we would certainly be, we continue to look at, and we would be working on that.
Right. So, just a quick understanding from you. For in US, there is something called a sidecar approach, where the likes of Thought Machine and other companies, members of the world, they try and sell a small part of their entire offering to a company to get a foot in a door, and then slowly move and mine that customer. Is there something that similar to that that you have some? Very unique small software which can help you to get inroads to get eventually a much bigger piece of the business from the clients?
Absolutely. Package business components are something that we have been working on for some time now. And while we roll them out with our existing customers, the next step would be to take them to, non-customers also.
Right. Understood. Thank you for being patient and answering my question. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. That was the last question. So I'd pass over to Mr. Vishnu for his closing comments.
I'd like to take this opportunity to thank all of you for your continued interest, and also would like to convey our sense of gratitude to two of our colleagues, Ashwini Arora and Ashish Khanna, who have dedicated 3 decades and 2 decades respectively of their professional career in building this organization, as they sign off to take on the world with some new exciting ventures. We wish them all the success and put our sense of gratitude towards them. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. That concludes our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may all disconnect now.